This is Audible.
Fallen Academy, Year 1. Written by Leia Stone. Narrated by Vanessa Moyen. Chapter 1. My mother pushed open the door to my bedroom, letting the light leak inside. It took a second for my eyes to adjust to the sudden brightness, and when they did, her troubled face came into view. I'd been sitting in my dark room all day, avoiding the inevitable. "It's time," she announced with resignation. My gaze swept over the hard lines around her eyes, from years of worrying, then at her tear-stained cheeks. But what stood out most of all was the red crescent moon tattoo on her forehead. The symbol of a demon's slave. The symbol of my future. Nodding, I lifted myself off my bed, with heavy limbs, and an even heavier heart. My mother stepped to the side as I passed her, and I made my way out into the living room. Mikey, my younger brother, sat on the couch staring at the smooth plaster walls, as if by his sheer will, he could change the present. Nothing could change what I was about to do, what I was about to become. My fate had been written a long time ago. "I wish I was the firstborn," my little brother muttered in a hollow voice that made my throat pinch with emotion. My normally goofball brother was near tears, and it killed me. I didn't wish he were firstborn. I was glad it was me. My brother was too soft emotionally to live the life of a demon slave. It was better this way. "Today I wish I never had children," my mother said gravely. I knew she didn't mean it. She just wanted to protect me from this, and wishing me out of existence would do that. That's how bad times were. Since the falling, none of us had any hope at a normal life anymore. All we could do was wish things were different, or accept what was. My mother wiped her leaking eyes and straightened. "Maybe you'll get necromancy like me and get a more prominent post. Then we could work together after your academy studies." Her mood instantly brightened at the thought. I nodded, although it was highly unlikely. When the angels fell from heaven and warred on earth with Lucifer and his demons, powers flared out like the Aurora Borealis, infecting most of humanity. The falling turned most of us into some sort of supernatural creature, and left the rest human. Your gift depended on whether an angel or demon's power touched you during the fight. It was completely random and had nothing to do with whether or not you were a good person. My mother was demon-gifted with necromancy, and reanimated the dead for a living. It was the only reason we weren't living on the streets, like half of the human population. But they weren't really alive. The things she reanimated were akin to zombies. I shuddered, thinking of the times she'd brought her work home with her. "It won't be necro, Mom. It's random. She could be a gristle for all we know." There was my sarcastic Mikey, back in action. My mom reached back and swatted his head. "Just be quiet," she chided. Her normally vibrant blonde hair was dull and greasy. She'd no doubt stayed up all night worrying about this. I laughed dryly to lighten the mood. If I was a gristle, that would actually be the perfect shitty topping to my already shitty life. It meant having the magical ability to make trash disappear. Gristles smelled like crap, literally. And they were the bottom of the barrel as far as magical society class was concerned. I was 5 years old when the falling happened. My mom said that when the magic hit me, my body hovered in the air for a full 5 minutes, and she had to pin me to the bed to keep me from floating away. Mikey was 4, so he wouldn't really remember. But she mentioned his skin had turned green for over an hour. Stepping closer, my mother smoothed my bright blonde hair down. "I'm sorry. I should have never taken the deal with—" I cut her off with a wave of my hand. Quite frankly, I was sick of the apology. My dad had been dying of cancer, and the whole family agreed that my mom should sell her services to the demons, becoming a lifelong necro for the baddies. We just hadn't read the fine print, which stated your firstborn was also a lifelong slave to the wicked. I'd have been fine with it if my father hadn't been hit by a bus 6 months after the demons took his cancer. 6 months of extended life was all that my mother's and my lifetime enslavement earned him. Life was jacked up, and I'd already learned not to depend on sunshine and rainbows. The unicorns of my childhood dreams were dead and slaughtered. Now summer was over, and I was 18. Today I would go to the Awakening, a magical ceremony put on by the fallen angels to fully ignite our powers, to reveal what gifts or curses we held. Angel-blessed or demon-gifted, at least for those of us who had them. When the falling first happened and all of the powers were unleashed on the humans, no one was sure who got hit or with what. When the angels realized what they'd done, mutated humanity, they contained all of the powers given to anyone under the age of 18. They couldn't take them back, but they could keep them at bay so that we could have a childhood, at least. Once my power was determined, I would exit stage left, get my demon slave tattoo, and enroll in the notoriously dysfunctional and scary Tainted Academy, while the others exited stage right and enrolled in the Fallen Academy with the rest of the free souls. Fallen Academy was an exclusive college for those who weren't demon slave bound. Mostly the angel blessed. The supernaturally gifted would be trained for 4 years, and then be drafted into the Fallen Army, receiving good payment for their service to the light. We were still at war, after all, and I was about to sign up for the wrong side. My lifetime service to the demons would start today, and I felt sick thinking about it. I should get going. I don't want to be late, I said abruptly. That would result in my entire family being slaughtered by demons. They were greedily awaiting their new slave, a fresh 18-year-old to torture and wear down over the rest of my life. My mom fell into a puddle of tears, and then I just couldn't deal with it. I needed to stay strong, or I was going to lose it. Love you guys. See you after, I added, ignoring my mother's weeping as I walked hastily to where my coat was hanging by the door. Brielle! My mother's voice carried so much emotion that I knew I wouldn't be able to turn around or I would completely fall to pieces. I'm so sorry. Forgive me? The apology was old, but this was new. Did she think I blamed her? We'd all agreed that the healer demon we went to had tricked her. She had no idea a blood oath included her firstborn. I was 12 years old and mature enough to know what I had encouraged her to do. We all did it for my father. That time, I did turn around. Of course I forgive you, Mom. It's the demon scum that will never get my forgiveness. I hated them. Rage built in my chest as I grieved for my future. The future I would have had if they hadn't tricked my mother into giving up my life to save my father's. If he'd still been alive, it would have been worth it. But 6 months? It wasn't enough. My mom just stood there and nodded. Your father would... She couldn't finish as the sob escaped her throat. I needed to get the hell out of there. It was too depressing. When the bus hit my father 6 years ago, I'd begged my mom to reanimate him so I could talk to him, tell him how much I loved him, and get bear hugs from him again. She refused, and at the time I'd hated her for it. As I grew older and interacted with the reanimated more, I understood why. They were zombies, shells of their former selves. Besides, he'd made her promise that she never would. Suddenly, my mother and brother were both bearing down on me, arms around me, squeezing tight. Maybe you'll be a dud and useless to everyone, my brother mumbled into my hair. And then we all broke apart laughing. I punched his arm lightly. There's only room for one dud in this family, and you've taken that position beautifully. He just grinned and shook his head. A dud was a non-magical being, a human. They were rare in Los Angeles, since the falling started there, but it did happen. Maybe I would be a dud, but I was sure the demons could find use for a human, and I was also sure my brother had magical abilities as well. That night of the falling, when I was floating up in the air above my bed, I had a vivid memory of my brother lighting up like a Christmas tree, bright green. Neither of us would be duds. After that night, adults' gifts started showing immediately, but our gifts had to be locked down. Could you imagine a 5-year-old gristle eating up trash on the street? At least that part had been fair. We'd been given somewhat normal childhoods. If growing up with demons and fallen angels roaming the streets was normal, at least we weren't being made to raise the dead at 7 years old. I love you guys. Everything's going to be fine. I reassured my family, with as much strength in my voice as I could muster. A heavy sigh escaped my mom, and she reached out to touch my cheek. You're wise beyond your years. My throat tightened as unshed tears lined my eyes. My father used to say that to me. In fact, they were the last words he shared before he left for work and was taken from us. I can't be late. Gotta meet Shay. I grabbed my hooded parka and headed toward the door. We lived in Demon City, the place of demons and their slaves, but the awakening ceremony was all the way in Angel City. Those who enjoyed normal humanity, the free souls, and the angel blessed lived there. Both Demon City and Angel City used to formerly be called Los Angeles, having been split apart and renamed after the falling. Angel City encompassed everything north of downtown. Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Burbank, and Pasadena. Basically, all the fancy rich places the Angel Blessed inhabited. Demon City was comprised of East Los Angeles, from Inglewood to Long Beach, including the lovely city of Compton, where we lived. I was going to have to run if I wanted to make the 5:15 p.m. bus. I slipped my gray parka on and pulled up the hood. It rained 90% of the time in Demon City. No one knew why. Maybe it was the concentration of so many demons, but the sun barely shone there. Without another word, I grabbed my messenger bag and slipped out of the fourth floor apartment I shared with my family and my best friend Shay. She was meeting me at the bus stop, going right from work to the ceremony. Being late to an awakening ceremony was not an option. The ceremonies were done each year on the day before classes started at Fallen and Tainted Academies, and Shay and I had birthdays only 16 days apart, so we were going to be in the same one. Shay was also destined to be a demon slave, except for all the wrong reasons. Her mother was a drug addict and sold her lifelong labor to a demon for a day's worth of drugs. Shay was her firstborn, so she went right along with it. She had moved to Demon City about the same time we did, and had seen me through more than some who had known me my whole life. When her mom bailed to go to Vegas, my mother took her in. I burst through the stairwell door and took the four flights down 3 steps at a time. Shay was the long-distance runner, while I was more of a sprint and then collapse panting on the ground, willing myself to die kind of person. With a giant leap, I crashed through the door that led to the outside. Sitting right next to the stairwell door was Bernie in his usual spot. Maximus curled up at his feet, his tail thumping when he smelled me.
Who's there? Is that you, Bree?
Bernie sniffed the air. It was pelting rain, but somehow he always knew it was me. I grinned. Bernie was homeless and blind as a bat, but he was sweeter than sugar, the nicest man I'd ever met. He once tried to offer me his only coat when I was cold. Pulling a blueberry muffin from my bag that I had stashed there earlier, I plopped it in his hand. I have my awakening ceremony today. Can't talk now, but I'll come by later to bring you dinner. He patted my hand and smiled, showcasing the 3 teeth he had left. Ripping a piece from the muffin off, he gave it to Maximus.
May you be angel blessed, he said, and nodded to me.
Angel blessed. Yeah, right. Odds were unlikely, seeing as though my mother was demon gifted. And it wouldn't matter anyway, because I was going to Tainted Academy, whether I was angel blessed or not. Thanks, Bern. I'm late, I told him again. I knew he didn't have anyone to talk to, and he cherished our chats. But I really couldn't be late.
Run like the wind, child,
he shouted, shooing me. Maximus barked for full effect. Turning on my heels, I dashed out into the pelting rain and nearly slammed right into a tiny snaker root demon. I was able to sidestep him at the last minute, but still got a whiff of his natural scent. Sulfur. Acid, and raw sewage. Yuck. Their red beady eyes and threaded black horns gave me the creeps, but they were beauty queens compared to other demons I'd seen roaming around the hood. The top of my left foot was scarred from a snaker root demon. Long story, but it was Shay's fault. As I turned the corner onto Rosecrans Boulevard, I grinned when I saw Shay's dark brown curly ponytail hanging out of the bus's front door, her boot on the curb.
I said hold the bus for one more goddamn minute, she roared.
My best friend was half black, half Puerto Rican, and she didn't mess around. You either did what she said, or you did what she said.
I'm here, I yelled.
Shay turned to meet my eyes and shook her head. Always late. I just smiled, and we both rushed onto the bus to meet the glare of a demon slave woman who sat behind the wheel, her red crescent tattoo glaring on her forehead above hateful eyes.
Next time, I'll shut the door on your pretty foot, she snarled at Shay.
Shay shrugged as if she didn't care. She really probably didn't. A broken ankle would get her out of work detail for a few days until a healer demon could fix it. And that would be awesome. After Shay's mom ran off when she was 13, it left her slave contract broken, which meant if she ever stepped foot in Demon City again, she was dead on arrival. They had better things to do than go chasing after a junkie to make them live out their contract. So instead, they'd made Shay pick up her mom's post. She'd been working for demons ever since. How was work? I made small talk, trying to get my mind off what was about to happen. Shay and I would both officially be slaves to the demons. Forever. We didn't have our tattoos yet, so the demons couldn't technically do that to us until we had gone through the awakening. She'd been working off the books for the Gremlock demon who owned her contract. It kept her alive and fed, so she didn't complain much. She shrugged. The usual. Master Grimm had me interview some new dancers for his club, and after that I scrubbed the leather seats with bleach and water. Fun times. The way she did air quotes around the word dancer always cracked me up. How exactly does one interview a dancer? Grimm, her boss, and the demon who held her contract, was also the owner of 5 strip clubs in Demon City. He made big money, and had more slaves than I'd ever seen. Shay was his personal assistant. She pushed her breasts together, batting her eyelashes, and I laughed even more. Even when the world had gone to shit, Shay could always make me laugh. That's it? A nice rack and you're in? Maybe that would be my backup plan if my new post didn't pay well. Necros made good money, but if I was a gristle, I was screwed. My boss would barely pay me enough to eat. My mom wouldn't be able to work forever. Necro work was hard and soul-draining, so I'd have to eventually take care of her, Mikey, and maybe even Shay, too. Shay's face fell and clouded over. It's sad. Most of the girls are barely 18. Some have kids to support or contracts to fulfill. I'm lucky Grimm doesn't make me dance. I'm surprised he hasn't noticed that I was blessed with incredibly amazing boobs. I grinned. And a nice booty. She chortled, turning to look behind her. It is nice, she agreed, making me smile wider. Are you nervous? I inquired, changing the topic. What if we're both gristles? Shay shrugged and reached over to hold my hand. Then we'll be the best damn gristles Demon City has ever seen. I smiled again, but it didn't reach my eyes. On a day when we were supposed to be getting special powers and new careers, we were selling our souls to the wrong side. Do you think the war will ever stop? That one side will win? That the Fallen might win? I asked her. The sunlight was shining up ahead as the bus made its way to the border of Angel City, the place I had once lived in until my dad got sick. I barely remembered it now, but I recall that the majority of people were happy. Shay's gaze followed the rain streak down the window, her blue eyes looking out behind her bronze skin. She let go of my hand. I don't know. I try not to hope anymore. It only leads to disappointment. Wasn't that the damn truth? We could pass for normal on the streets now, but after today, the red crescent moonslave mark would mar our looks for eternity, would show everyone who we were and what we'd signed up for. The bus slowed as it reached the border gate, and a security guard stepped out from behind the tall cement wall that closed off the two warring cities. After a few words and a scan of the driver's badge, we rolled on through. The sunlight burst through the windows and heated my chilly skin. Driving into Angel City was an immediate mood lifter. I took a deep breath as I felt the tension in my shoulders recede. Shay chuckled. You love this place. don't you? Angel City was the normal side, the side with the good people. It's not like home to me like it is to you, she added with a shrug. I don't feel any different about either side. That was true. Shay was from New Orleans, and after moving here, she'd only ever known Demon City as home. She loved the rain and gloomy days, whereas I was dying for a sunny day at the beach. The bus stopped in front of the Awakening Center, and Shay and I disembarked. My hands clung to my messenger bag tightly as we crossed the busy downtown street and made our way to the line of teenagers walking into the open double doors. I saw a Lakers game here once with my dad. I barely remember, but we have a picture, I told Shay.
The Awakening waits for no one,
a slender woman in her 20s called out to us as the last of the kids went through the double doors. Why do they insist on dressing us up? This isn't prom, Shay muttered, running to catch up. I didn't want to know what happened if you didn't make it on time to the Awakening. I'd heard stories, and they weren't good.
Because it gives them something to do, I whispered back.
Then was met with a glare from the female officer holding the door. I looked down at the silver spiral insignia on her jacket. She was a light mage. She also had a silver FA patch right beneath it, the logo of the Fallen Army. The line of my fellow Awakening ceremony companions began to tighten as we walked single file back to the dressing rooms. The Fallen Angels who hosted the ceremony every year insisted we dress up. And after we had our awakening, they threw a big catered party for everyone, even the Demon Bound.
I heard there's a chocolate fountain at the party after.
Shay's eyes lit up as she told me the rumor. She was obsessed with chocolate, and guys, but mostly chocolate. The Fallen Army officer hung back until she was walking with Shay and me, giving us a side glance as she tisked through her teeth. Shay pinned her with a glare as we walked.
Can I help you?
She asked her in the bitchiest tone possible. The Fallen and all of their officers were high and mighty, acting better than everyone, especially better than us. The Demon Bound. The woman shrugged.
It's a shame to see so many firstborns pledge their lives to the demons.
Another woman up ahead had started roll call at the set of double doors. Shay stopped and faced the officer. Her blood was boiling. I could see that in the way she clenched her fists, and I hoped I didn't have to hold her back. If you struck an officer, it was a criminal offense. How did she even know we were slave bound? She'd probably looked at all of the files beforehand, specifically looking for ones like us.
You think we pledge ourselves?
Wow, you're stupider than you look, Shay spat. I froze, unsure what the woman's reaction would be. I didn't spend a lot of time around the Fallen Army and their human consort. I'd heard they were more forgiving than the Demon Patrol officers that roamed our streets, but I wouldn't bet on it.
No.
The officer stepped closer to my best friend.
What's stupid is that your mothers, the people in charge of your safety and security, pledged your life to a demon for their own gains.
I stepped out of line, ready to give this girl a piece of my mind. But the officer at the front called Shay's name then.
Shay Hollowell, Demon Bound.
Shay gave the officer before her one last glare before stepping in line and raising her hand. The officer at the front typed something into her tablet and pointed for Shay to step out of the line. There was a small group of three others I recognized from Demon City. All demon-bound.
Brielle Atwater, demon-bound.
The way she'd said demon-bound like it was dirty made me hate them more. The self-righteous Fallen Army. I raised my hand and held my chin high. Yes, my mother sold herself to a lifetime of demon slavery to save my father's life. But what other choice did we have? That's what you did for love, for family. The Fallen Angels didn't heal the dying.
Free will, destiny, and all that bullshit.
They said the humans who were terminal were meant to pass, and no one should interfere.
Pious bastards.
I stepped out of line and followed Shay to stand with the others from Demon City. Five of us. The rest were free souls and would exit stage right and be recruited to enter Fallen Academy. Mages, the Sighted, Centaurs, and of course, the rare and mythical Celestials, were all of the Angel Blessed powers, and were all looked at as the good ones. There hadn't been a Celestial in 5 years. It was said they were endowed with so much angel energy during the falling that they were kin to the fallen angels themselves. They were easy to spot with their big, large white wings, smaller yet identical to the wings of the fallen. The only difference was that the celestials could retract their wings at will, and the fallen couldn't. I saw one once, a fallen. I was 9 years old, right before my dad's diagnosis while he was in the hospital. Raphael, the archangel of healing, was going around blessing the sick. He must have skipped my dad. I'll never forget what he looked like, and the way he looked at me, like he could see right through me. It was unnerving. "Free souls this way! Demon bound that way!" the lead officer called out, and we all entered the hallway. The free souls started walking into a dressing room to the right, as we headed left, where a demon slave with the red crescent moon was waiting for us. She had a cattle prod in one hand, and Shay and I raised our eyebrows at each other. She was a slave minder. If one of us chickened out or tried to run, we'd be shot up with electricity. Icing on the cake. We were led into a small dressing room, co-ed from the looks of it, and the slave minder pointed to a rack of dresses and men's suits. "Get yourselves presentable, and then we'll go out into the main reception hall. You have 5 minutes." She left the room and closed the door, presumably locking us in from the sound of the click.
"$5, Steph is a gristle," Ben told the room,
and we all laughed as Stephanie gave him the middle finger, but then smacked his butt. Steph and Ben had been dating for over a year now. They didn't live in the same housing building as Shay and me, so I only saw them at school in one shared class, but they were cool people. Shay started flipping through the dresses. "Reality is, we could all be gristles. No sense in worrying about it." Steph and I shared a look. Shay was my little pessimist. She never saw the silver lining or had hope that anything would work out. Only on rare occasions did that happen. James, the fifth person in our group, was quiet, sitting in the corner while staring at the wall. He was one of those perfect guys, smart, utterly gorgeous, and gay. "What's up, James?" I asked, dropping into the seat next to him as the others spoke in soft voices near the dresses.
"I had a bad dream last night, that's all."
He stood abruptly and walked over to get dressed. I stayed still. James had the gift of future sight. When the fallen angels quickly closed down the powers of anyone below the age of 18, there were a few glitches, and not every child's power was caught 100%. James had prophetic dreams. One day he came into school screaming for everyone to get out, even pulled the fire alarm. We all ran out of the building, and not 10 minutes later, a fallen army helicopter crashed into the side and blew up our school. He said he dreamed about it and just knew it was real. So if James had a bad dream last night, I was all ears. Absent-mindedly, I grabbed a black silk dress in my size and followed James to the corner of the room where he was disrobing. I started to take my shirt off, and James looked at my chest.
"Ew, boobs."
A chuckle escaped me as I rolled my eyes, stepping into the dress and pulling the delicate straps over my shoulders. "So, your dream? Should we expect a helicopter crash landing later today, or what?" I could usually make James laugh, as he had a good sense of humor, but this time, he was just stone-faced, dark.
"You need to be careful,"
James whispered, as I shimmied out of my pants. I stopped dead. "Okay, elaborate, please." What the hell did that mean? And why me? He said I needed to be careful. I was already nervous for the ceremony, and now my heart was jackhammering in my chest. James side-eyed the rest of the group, who seemed to be laughing at Shay's impression of the fallen army officer. Then he leaned in closer to me.
"You're different. They..."
The door swung open, and James straightened as the slave minder walked in.
"All right, it's time,"
she growled, pointing her cattle prod at us. Frick. Mental telepathy would be a good skill to have right now. I followed my group out of the dressing room with my knees knocking together in fear. If James said I needed to be careful, I was royally screwed. Chapter 2. We were sat apart from the free souls in alphabetical order, and I was sitting next to the wench with the cattle prod. That meant I couldn't ask James what the hell he'd meant. nor could I even freak out with Shay. I had to just sit there and let my wild imagination dream up crazy theories. After I turned around, I found my mom and Mike's faces in the crowd. They were standing in the nosebleed section, but seeing their faces only made me more nervous. Now the ceremony was starting, and I was pretty sure I would faint at the amount of adrenaline pumping into my veins.
"You're different. You need to be careful," James had said.
If that wasn't an ominous warning, I didn't know what was. I hadn't been watching the stage, but at the sound of the booming voice, my gaze was drawn upward.
"Welcome, citizens of Earth."
A shock ran through me as I saw the fallen angel before me. Archangel Raphael. Standing over 6 feet tall, with wavy golden hair and piercing blue eyes, he looked to be in his early 30s, the same as when I'd met him. I had forgotten until now that the fallen didn't age. His large white gossamer wings glowed so brightly that it was hard to look directly at him. He stood to the right of the stage, on pearlescent white tiles, while the left half was tiled in a black onyx stone, and a Grimlock demon stood there, glaring at the fallen.
13 years ago today, a war raged in heaven, and we mistakenly brought that war to Earth,
the angel admitted, as the Grimlock demon rolled his eyes.
We could not take back what we had done to humanity, but we could at least let your power lie dormant for a time, so that you could come of age. Now is the time to let that power free, so you may train with your assigned academy, and earn your rightful place in society.
I'd heard rumors of a kid who fled the awakening ceremony. He lasted about 2 years on the road before his powers started to emerge by themselves. He had the power of a beast shifter, predominantly demon, although he was a free soul. With no one there to train him, he'd attacked an entire town and then was killed when the fallen army showed up to contain the mess. Moral of the story? Go to the awakening, get your power, and train at your given academy. The powers could only be contained for so long. The demon stepped forward, casting a long shadow upon the archangel.
When we call your name, you will step up to the stage and walk to the white area. After Raphael unlocks your power, you will exit right and be enrolled in Fallen Academy if you are a free soul, and left to be enrolled in Tainted Academy if you are demon-bound.
He grinned, giving us all a view of both sets of his razor-sharp teeth. The angel hit the Grimlock demon with a glare that gave me the chills.
Let's begin, Raphael announced,
and the demon stepped back, exiting center stage to sit at a table with another demon I recognized. My mom's boss, Master Burdock, a brimstone demon. The one who held our contracts sat smugly in his seat. His furry black horns came off his head and went straight up like ears. I'd heard many stories of how he gored those who upset him. He was a cross between a bull and a man, and he was about to be my new master. A demon with the most haunting black shiny eyes you ever saw.
Tilly Anderson, free soul,
Raphael announced, and my attention was pulled to the center stage again. Raphael stood inside of the white half of the stage, and just over his left shoulder was a guy in his early 20s, a celestial. He was tall, with dark brown hair that was long and spiky on top, with short buzzed sides. The ethereal wings he wore had me spellbound. They glowed at certain angles, and the white feathers looked like they contained electricity as they danced with blue light. I knew who that guy was. He was the celestial from 5 years back. Lincoln something. He'd made it in all of the papers. He was very rare in that he held the power of two celestials within him. Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. They said he'd changed in the face of the war, that his demon kill record was one of the highest, and he'd taken back part of the valley for Angel City. Even though demon and fallen were in the same room for the awakening ceremonies, the war between them was still waging outside of these walls. Tilly walked nervously up to the stage, and my heart went out to her. Being the first to be called for something like this sucked. It sucked bad. I leaned forward a little and turned my head to the right, trying to catch Shay's attention, but the slave minder's hand clamped down on my thigh, forcing me to look forward. I bit my tongue to keep myself from lashing out at her, Tilly looked ridiculous in her large yellow evening gown. We all did. But the Fallen were sticklers for ceremony and respect, so I imagined it was for them. As she stood before the Fallen Archangel, I could feel her anxiety from where I sat over 50 feet away. The awakening was a terrifying thing. To be turned into a monster at random for the rest of your life? How could anyone look forward to that? I noticed a bunch of other Fallen Army officers waiting to the right of the stage to greet her once she was done. Once her powers were revealed, she would immediately be enrolled in Fallen Academy, the elusive and fancy training school for the Free Souls. Unless she was a Gristle. That was the only supernatural race that didn't get schooling. You just exited the stage and were given a job working for the city sanitation department. Raphael held his hands above her head, and a golden orange dust began to fall from his palms, saturating her body. We all stared in shock at the golden dust that coated her skin, making her glow like an angel atop a Christmas tree. I saw the appeal of the dresses now. She looked breathtaking. But the beauty was short-lived. Soon she started breathing roughly, her body lurching forward as she doubled over in pain. I had never seen an awakening ceremony, since it was only for the families of those involved, and was never televised. Now I knew why. Tilly made a whining noise, and then, as if it had never existed, the dust disappeared. She stood shakily and looked out to the crowd. Holy shit. Her once blue irises were black, her skin looked as white as paper, and her canines were more pronounced. Raphael took one look at her and nodded.
Tilly Anderson, Nightblood. Welcome to Fallen Academy.
I heard weeping in the upper deck and guessed it was Tilly's mother. Nightbloods couldn't go outside in the day or they had some type of allergic reaction. They were trained and used in war for their extreme strength and speed. But to the Free Souls, they were seen as an offspring of the Tainted. Nightbloods were demon-gifted, along with beast-shifters, necromancers, and dark mages. Tilly would be feared by those in her community for the rest of her life, and she would probably end up moving to Demon City just to feel normal. Tilly cast her head down in shame and exited the stage, walking across the white tiles and down to the waiting Fallen Army to get her new government-issued identification. She would be matched with a Nightblood master teacher for her training.
Brielle Atwater, demon-bound.
Raphael's voice snapped me from my remorse for Tilly. No. Freaking alphabetical order. I stood, a wave of dizziness hitting me as the adrenaline coursed through me, and my heart rattled against my chest. I walked numbly to the stage, trying not to trip over my too long black silk dress.
You got this, Shay yelled.
I heard the slave minder shush her, but it made me smile the slightest bit, and I walked a little taller. No matter what happened today, I would still go home tonight and be with Shay, my mom, and my little brother. Nothing would change that. If I worked a shitty job for the rest of my life, then so be it. I still had my family. Before I knew it, I had reached the stage and stood before the Fallen Angel.
Brielle.
He said my first name as if we were dear friends. It both made me nervous and comforted me at the same time. Yes, sir. I didn't know what protocol was. I'd grown up around demons, not these nice winged creatures. Raphael looked sadly down at me.
I'm sorry for the circumstances in which you find yourself, he whispered.
For some crazy reason, I wanted to burst into tears. What was he doing? Throw the freaking glowing dust on me and be done with it already. Saying heartfelt shit wasn't going to get me through this. It was only going to make me look weak. I simply nodded, holding back my emotions. Looking past him, I saw Lincoln appear over his shoulder and glare at me as if I was the scum of the earth. That was more like it. More of what I was used to from those people. Looking down on me for being slave-bound. I was tempted to give him the middle finger, but thought better of it. Instead, deciding to focus my attention on the huge palms that had just spread out above me. I was standing in the presence of a Fallen Archangel, a being with more power than I could ever imagine. Before I could think more on it, the dust began to fall. It lay on my skin, settling into the pores there, tickling as it worked its way into my body. I felt a zinging sensation as unseen energy moved up and down my back. The tickling gave way to a burning, and I started to sweat. Would I be a gristle? Or worse, some form of a demon like Tilly? What if I sprouted horns? I just wanted to be something middle of the road. Not too low, but not too high. If you were too powerful, they were calling you to the front lines of the war after you graduated Tainted Academy. I just wanted my life to stay the same. A red-hot pain shot from my navel to my chest and out through my shoulder blades as I fell forward with a shriek. The pain was unlike anything I'd ever felt before, and the edges of my vision went black as I fought to stay conscious. My back was on fire, and I'd bet my mother's life that I had just endured a pain worse than childbirth. Bile came up my throat, but I swallowed it down. I tried to keep quiet, but at the sight of a bright, blinding light shooting out from behind me and a ripping sensation down my back, I screamed. I screamed bloody freaking murder. Dresses? They gave us dresses to get through this? Where's the Vicodin, morphine, anything? The pain started to pulse, giving way from a sharp stabbing to a dull throb. The gasps from the crowd gave me the first indication that something crazy had just happened. I didn't dare move. My skin felt like it was on fire all over. It hurt so bad that I wanted to scream again. Brielle! Shay shouted, and I heard a commotion in the seats. I looked up and squinted. Everything was too bright, noises too loud, smells too strong.
She's angel-blessed.
Raphael's words were the tiniest whisper. I wasn't sure I'd even heard it.
Angel-blessed.
There were only 4 angel-blessed powers compared to the 4 demon-gifted things you could become. I looked down at my hands, but other than a shimmery glowing on my skin, they looked no different. I tried to stand, but felt off balance. I must have grown horns or something. Or maybe I was a centaur, with animal lower half and human upper half. Murmurs started on the fallen army side, and it made me nervous. They hardly broke protocol, but now they were gasping, pointing, stepping closer.
Get up!
The Grimlock roared, and fear flushed through me. Once again, I tried to stand, and that's when I noticed what was wrong. Turning my head behind me, I glimpsed a shimmery set of celestial wings. They were pitch black. Oh, shit. Raphael's hand came out to steady me, and a warm, smoothing balm coursed through my body, taking away all the pain. I could breathe a little easier, without the throbbing pain between my shoulders. I had wings. Black freaking wings. I'd never heard of a black-winged celestial. They were all white. All of them. Always.
Brielle Atwater. Celestial.
Raphael's voice cracked as he spoke. I couldn't bear to look at the crowd.
Come forward and receive your slave mark, the Grimlock demon said, standing at the very edge of the black line on the stage.
I tried to release my arm from Raphael's hand and step over the line when his grip became vice-like.
She's with us, the fallen archangel hissed.
What the frick did he just say? Lincoln stepped closer to me and pulled a glowing sword as I stared in shock at the Grimlock demon, whose horns had begun to spew black smoke.
You will honor the Accords, or we will war right now. Give her to me,
the Grimlock roared. My mother's master demon stood and walked closer. Raphael looked pained, his features tightening.
You tricked her mother into the contract. She didn't know it involved her firstborn.
Whoa, how the hell did he know that? Master Burdock clapped loudly, and in his once bare palms was suddenly a tan parchment. It had tiny golden writing, and at the bottom a red bloody thumbprint. My mother's.
It's her fault for not reading the entire thing. Now, hand me my slave or bring hell upon the earth once again,
Master Burdock crooned. Raphael was holding me so tightly that my wrist began to hurt. At that thought, his grip lessened.
No,
Raphael said, and the walls shook with his voice, as if it had been amplified 1,000 times. The Grimlock demon looked at one of the slave minders that stood beyond the stage.
Bring me her mother so I may kill her.
No, I lurched forward, but Raphael yanked me back.
Do not cross that line,
Raphael whispered. I looked at him incredulously.
Let me go,
I demanded, and I saw the hurt across his face. One rule I knew the Fallen were big on was free will. They had to honor our free will. He bit his lip.
You don't understand. It's not final yet. If you take that mark...
Let go, I said with more authority, cutting him off, and a rising of power crackled within me. At the same time, I heard my mother scream in the stands. He dropped my arm, eyes wide in shock, and stepped backward a foot.
Stupid girl, Logan spat.
Screw you, I shot back at him, then stepped out of the white area of the stage and over the line into the black, where I belonged. The collective gasp from the Fallen Army made me sick. A literal nausea washed over me as I stepped closer to the Grimlock demon, who was practically salivating as he looked at my black wings.
She knows not what she does,
Raphael whispered to Lincoln. The Grimlock demon stared into my eyes, and I felt the nausea rise to epic proportions.
Kneel to me and honor your contract as a slave to the Tainted.
Suddenly, I felt regret. The urge to run, to fly the hell away from there. Anything but take the mark. Then I heard my mother whimper in pain behind me, and I fell to my knees willingly. My mother was a slave. I was a slave, and there was nothing we could do about it. Mikey was a free soul, and I needed to look forward to that. With lightning-quick moves, the Grimlock's thumb snaked out and touched my forehead, igniting a searing pain. When he pulled away, I knew I bore the red mark. The mark of a slave to the baddies.
It's done, the Grimlock confirmed, with a sigh of relief.
We still get to train her. You don't have anyone who can contain her powers, and you know it,
Raphael added from behind me.
What?
The Grimlock scowled.
For 6 hours a day, no more.
Raphael must have nodded because the Grimlock told me to stand. When I did, he gave me one last smug look.
Go home,
he said, and the mark on my head flared to life with searing pain. It was an order, and orders had to be obeyed. After the awakening, there was always a fancy banquet where you could eat dessert to your heart's content and dance until midnight. It was the one thing we had to look forward to, the one thing the Fallen did for us, an apology of sorts for getting us into this mess. I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay and see what Shay's power was, to dance and eat chocolate. But I knew better than to argue after that scene. Yes, Master, I answered through clenched teeth, then turned to face the crowd. Shay was halfway down the aisle with a cattle prod stuck to her back, and my mother was on her knees with Master Burdock's hand in her hair, grabbing a fistful. As I made my way toward them, she pulled from his grasp and ran to me, wrapping her arms around me.
What am I?
I whispered to her, because a black-winged celestial wasn't a thing. I don't know, baby, but I think it's important, she replied.
Yeah, no shit.
An archangel almost started another war over me. At this point, I'd take being a gristle. When we exited the awakening ceremony, there had been a sleek black SUV waiting for us, courtesy of my new boss. He probably didn't want these black wings riding the public bus and starting a panic. I tried to retract them, to think them back into hiding, but nothing worked, and when I sat on them, it hurt. I just wanted to cry as I laid in the back of the car. Arriving home, I went straight to my room without dinner. My mom and Mikey tried to talk to me, but I wasn't interested. Alone in my room, with my thoughts, the tears came. I was lying in an awkward position on my bed with pillows under my shoulders, so I didn't hurt my wings. They were jet black and very real. Like an arm or a foot, I could feel them. I'd never heard of a demon slave celestial before. Celestials were so rare, and the ones that did pop up were whisked away into the Fallen Army and given the highest officer ranking. That asshat Lincoln was, like, second in command next to the archangels, and he was only, like, 22. Celestials were a big deal, I knew. But what could I do? I replayed that moment on stage over and over again. Raphael had told me not to cross that line. Why? As if I had a choice. I had to fulfill my contract. I wasn't going to sacrifice my mother for my own freedom if that's what he'd expected. What had me the most nervous was the unknown. What would the Demon Masters ask me to do for them, knowing I had this power? Would they put me on the front lines of the war? Would they make me kill for them? The thought made me physically sick. I'd always been firmly on the Fallen side of things, as they were the do-gooders. No one went hungry in Angel City. No one got killed for making a mistake. Now I was worried I had ranked too high and would have to do awful things. Things I wasn't morally okay with, just to survive. There was a light knock at my door. "Go away," I told my mom, wiping my tears. The door opened, and I was ready to yell at her when I saw it was Shay and she was holding a box of Cloud Nine donuts. My mouth immediately watered. "You didn't," I gaped in awe. Shay shrugged, stepping in and kicking the door closed with her foot before setting the donut box before me. She bore the red crescent moon tattoo, just as I did. "I'm a powerful mage now, baby. I can do whatever I want." She smirked, indicating the donuts. "A mage?" I gasped. Vulnerability crossed her features before it was gone, and then she nodded smugly. Well, this day just got crazier. Mages were second in power to Celestials, and normally went to Fallen Academy, but if you were demon-bound, then you went to Tainted Academy to learn dark magic. "Your school?" I swallowed hard, praying she would tell me that Raphael had fought for her to train at Fallen Academy as well. "Tainted Academy," she confessed, in a hollow voice. Shit. Mages who studied dark magic turned evil. They were forced to invoke demonic powers and do awful things. That was possibly worse than what happened to me. "We're screwed," I stated with finality. She popped open the box and the sugary sweet smell wafted into the air. "We're screwed, but we have Cloud Nine donuts." I gave her a weak smile. This was an old joke between us. The day we met, she asked me what I missed most about living in Angel City. I declared Cloud Nine donuts. These weren't normal donuts. They were filled with magic. The owner was a light mage, and all of the donuts had spells on them. The Bliss Bomb was my favorite. One bite and you were laughing hysterically for 10 minutes. Shay preferred the Mellow Melon. Half a donut and you were sacked out for 2 hours. Not to mention how good they tasted. "Seriously, how did you get them?" I eyed a Bliss Bomb. Its red cherry glaze was unmistakable. The lines were hours long to buy them, and they cost a fortune. Shay had only had them once, to celebrate our 16th birthdays. My mom had bought just 2 donuts for us. She'd had to get the day off work to travel into Angel City, and I was sure she'd saved for months. It was our only present that year. I'd never seen an entire box before. It must have cost a grand, easily. She smiled. They were serving them at the banquet. I flirted with the waiter and hid a box under my dress. Some of them looked mashed together. Now I knew why. "You're the best," I told her, grabbing a Bliss Bomb as she grabbed a bright orange one I couldn't identify. "Cheers." We smacked our donuts together and took a bite. The second that tart cherry hit my tongue, I was flooded with euphoria. Joy bubbled up inside of me, and I burst out laughing. Shay was chewing hers, looking perplexed.
"I can't tell what mine does," she said.
But the second she spoke, we both cackled in laughter. Her voice sounded like she'd sucked in helium. We spent the next hour overdosing on donuts, the effects only lasting a few minutes. We'd saved the Mellow Melon for last. "Ready to chill?" she asked, breaking the lime green donut in half. So ready. I wanted to sleep the day right away and worry about everything tomorrow. We both sank our teeth into the donut, and an immediate calm fell over me. I should have started with that one, the one thing that could tamper my buzzing anxiety. Shay laid her head at my feet, looking up at me from the bottom of my bed. "You have black wings," she stated in a dreamy voice. I figured the donuts were mixing, making her a little loopy. I was also pretty sure you had to be 21 to eat some of them.
I do, I answered. Asleep beckoned me. I was just about to drift off when Shay's warbled voice reached me.
I won't let you go dark if you don't let me, she declared. My throat tightened. It was my biggest fear, turning evil because the demons used me as a puppet for their bidding. Scooching down as far as I could without folding my wing, I grasped Shay's hand.
I'll kill you before I see you become a dark mage, I promised her.
She smiled.
Good.
And then sleep took us both.
Chapter 3. The next morning, I was woken by my mother nudging me with her foot. I cracked open an eyelid and glanced at the clock. It was 5 o'clock a.m., not even light out.
No,
I mumbled and rolled over. But a sharp stabbing pain in my back alerted me that I still had huge angel wings and couldn't just roll over on them. My mom nudged me again.
Get up. A car just arrived for you from Fallen Academy, she whispered, so she wouldn't wake Shay. Your classes will be from 6 a.m. to noon each day, so as not to interfere with your demon work duties.
My eyelids snapped open. Are you kidding me? I glared at my mom, though I knew she was just the messenger. She shrugged.
Get showered and dressed. That boy from the stage yesterday is waiting in the car outside.
I sat up abruptly and winced, as I realized how stiff my right wing was from lying on it all night.
Lincoln's here? In Demon City?
I thought they caught fire when they crossed the border or something like that. My gaze went back to my wings. How can I shower with these things? I was still wearing my dress from last night.
She shrugged. Figure it out. I don't think he's keen on waiting.
I groaned and crossed the room quickly to my bathroom. That guy had already been on my shit list, but now he was messing with my sleep. Awkwardly, I banged around my shower and got myself as clean as possible, given the circumstances. After shrugging into skinny black cargos and tying my long blonde hair into a top knot, I stared at my t-shirt options. Nothing was going over my head, so I was going to have to step into it and bring it up. My bra was easy to fasten, but stepping into a tight gray tank top was proving difficult. I had finally pulled the straps up when my mom knocked again.
He said he doesn't have time to train a princess, and he's leaving, she told me through the door.
That mother fricker. I pulled open the door to see my mom waiting with a to-go coffee cup and bagel in hand. I grabbed the breakfast, wishing her a goodbye, and slipped into my boots, quickly zipping them up. He wakes me up at 5 a.m., makes me rush through my first shower with these gigantic wings, and now I'm running. I hated running. He was going to get an earful. I burst through the door just in time to see a brand new white SUV driving away.
He wouldn't dare.
Morning, Brielle.
Bernie's sweet voice came from inside his tent.
Shit, I'd forgotten to bring him dinner last night.
I chucked the bagel into the tent. Morning, sorry, but I'm late. We'll catch up later, I shouted and took off, pushing into a full sprint. Leaping into the road, I did the first thing I could think of. I chucked my coffee cup and watched in delight as it crashed into the back window of Lincoln's SUV, the brake lights glowing an angry red. I then walked calmly to the passenger door and jerked it open, coming face to face with the Celestial. Lincoln was annoyingly gorgeous. Even now, as he glared at me with those piercing blue eyes and pursed lips, I couldn't deny that he was extremely attractive. That didn't stop me from giving him a piece of my mind.
Listen, buddy, I had the worst night of my life yesterday. I'm still recovering from a Cloud-9 donuts hangover, and I just wasted a perfectly good cup of coffee, so you need to chill out.
The corner of his lips twitched, but he remained stoic.
You listen, princess. Every minute I stay in Demon City feels like 1,000 knives are tearing into my back. So get into the car, or go home.
Asshole. I reeled back in shock. Now that he mentioned it, he did look like he was in pain. I thought it was just anger at me. I guess they don't go up in flames, they just feel like crap.
I can't fit in there with my wings, I told him, crossing my arms and staring at the tiny hole he expected me to crawl into.
He rolled his eyes and leaned forward, reaching out to me.
I flinched and his face softened.
I need to touch them.
Oh. I leaned into the car and his right hand tenderly stroked the top of my left wing, sending chills down my arms. With a quick, sharp pain at my back,